talk to you about Seek First. This is in conjunction with the part of our series that we're doing on Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 that we've entitled A Christ Life. This is daily practical teaching that Jesus is giving to his disciples with a multitude of people that have also gathered around. He's teaching them how to live for Christ every day. Do they fully understand that yet? Nope. Nor do you and I every single day. But he's still calling them to live a life of faith and to follow God with all that they are. And he's giving them very practical ways to do that. As we do that this morning, I'm going to remind you that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God is our source, Christ is our salvation, and the Holy Spirit is our strength. Again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God is your source, Christ is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is your strength for every single day. So as we start in Matthew 6 this morning, I'll remind you, if you were with us last week, or maybe you weren't, but just kind of get us all on the same page, because today continues the thought of what we finished last week. It matters what your heart holds on to. We saw very consistently last week, and we've seen it throughout our study of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, called the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus cares about our heart. If our heart is right before the Lord, then everything else follows. But we learned last week that it matters what our treasure is. A treasure is something that you value, that you desire to keep safe. It's something that you value, maybe not everybody values, but you value it and you desire to keep it safe. So we were challenged last week to see, where do you and I treasure things? Because that's where our heart is. Do we treasure things that are on earth, things that somehow make our life complete or better in this life? Do we value those things more? Do we treasure those? Or do we value the things of God, things that are eternal, things that will last? Where is our treasure? Because that's where our heart is. We also ended last week in the end of verse 24, Jesus reminded the disciples, you cannot serve God and stuff. You're going to serve one or the other. So you can't fully serve God because he wants your whole heart if you're focused on stuff. You also can't fully serve the stuff if you're also focused on God. And he challenges us, if we're believers, to focus wholeheartedly on him. And he does that again this morning in some very powerful words. Now, some of you have read these words in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. They're words that I have read and reread and reread and reread and reread and will continue to reread as I get challenged with everyday things in my life. So join me in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Reminder to us that these are the words of Jesus himself teaching the disciples. Matthew 6, verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you? O men of little faith, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, God is reminding us, he's reminding the disciples and the multitude gathered there, that you cannot serve God and stuff at the same time. If If you're going to wholeheartedly serve God, you can't also serve your stuff. So you have to learn to trust Him. God revealed Himself in the Old Testament as our provider. And as we said last week, to be reminded of this week, most of us, the things that we have prayed and asked God for that are earthly things, God has given us those things. He's given us more than food and clothing and shelter and all those kind of things. For most of us, He's given most of what we wanted along the way. And sometimes we focus on the stuff because we think that somehow, some way, that stuff is going to make our life more satisfying. But Jesus is here to remind the disciples that it is not about all the stuff. It is about the things of God. So see with me again in verse 25. He says, for this reason, exactly what we just said, He's carrying over. We stopped at the end of verse 24. He didn't. So when He says you cannot serve God and mammon or the things of the world, He says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life. Your life here simply means the essence of your life. What got you up this morning? What are you going to do today? If God gives you tomorrow, what are you going to do tomorrow? It's the things you think about. It's the things you feel about. It's the purpose that you have in your day. Whether you have clear purpose or your purpose is kind of muddy, it doesn't matter. It's the essence of your life. And the things that are anxious are things that you and I worry about that have somehow how we have perceived a danger related to them in some way. When I have been anxious in my life, I can contemplate 5,437,000 different things that have never existed in the history of humankind, but somehow it's going to affect me in my situation today. In other words, anxiousness is thinking fearfully about what probably isn't even going to happen. But we get so caught up in the stuff of this life that we somehow get enthralled with that stuff and how it's going to affect us. Here, Jesus is specifically referring to our basic needs, our basic necessities that God has promised to take care of. So He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Your life is more important than even those things. Don't worry about the daily stuff. God's got you. Focus more on Him and let Him take care of that. He uses very simple examples here. In verse 26, He uses the example of birds. He says, notice that they don't go sow and wait for a harvest. They don't go plant seeds and wait for a harvest. God provides for them. They don't have to then harvest some things and put it in a barn. They just simply fly around every day and they find food and they're fine. Because our Heavenly Father who created them takes care of them. We have a couple bird feeders in our backyard and Keith and I love to sit on the back porch and watch those birds. I know we're old, but that's just part of it. We like to watch the birds. One day you guys will be there too. I know not yet, but Pastor Steve is old. So we like to watch those birds, and it is amazing to me because I don't put bird feed in the feeder every single day. It might be 3 or 4 days. Somehow, some way, I don't know if they have a text message service or something, they know when the feed is in there because they just start coming out of everywhere. All kinds of birds, and they fight for position to be at the bird feeder. The smaller ones will wait in the tree. Some of the really small ones don't care about the big birds. They just go right in there. Other birds that are about the same size fight each other and all that kind of stuff. Then the little birds swoop in and get what they need. And it's amazing to watch. They know when it's there. God knows how to take care of His own creation. And notice what Jesus says at the end of verse 26. Are you not worth much more than they, the birds? Yes, God created you. He cares about you. If He cares for the birds, He cares more for you. Verse 27, He says, which of you by being anxious, by worrying about daily things, can somehow add a single cubit to your lifespan? That literally means height. Everybody asked me how I got so tall. I worried a lot, and it got me tall. No, that has nothing to do with it. He says, you can't worry about your height and somehow change it. He says a cubit. A cubit is literally from the tip of your elbow to the tip of your fingers. It's about 18 inches. I know it's different for all of us, but we're not worried about an exact measurement. Can I add a length of time to my life, or specifically to my height, by worrying about it? No. It's in the genetic code. I can't change that by worrying about it. It's just a part of what God has created in me. So don't worry about it. Verse 28, and he goes further, and he says, why are you being anxious about what you're going to wear? Why would you worry about all of those things? Let me remind you of some verses maybe that you're familiar with. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. These are going along with what we're already talking about, not being anxious. Notice what he says, God's word in Philippians 4, verse 6 and verse 7 says, be anxious when times are difficult. You see that there? It's not there. Be anxious when your bank account doesn't look like it's going to be able to pay the bills. Nope, not there. Be anxious when your children are not doing the things that you expect them to do. Not there either. Be anxious in life and death situations. Nope. Be anxious about your life. Not there either. Be anxious about everybody else's life because you can help them by being anxious. Not there either. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Contrary to anxiousness. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's God's word that makes it true. So he says that his peace is available to all of us, and it doesn't have to make sense to anybody, including you, because his peace is not based on the circumstances of your life. His peace is on the fact that he's in charge and he's in control. Does he say that life is going to be easy? No, we pointed that out again last week. He says that you're going to have lots of trouble. We've already seen it here again. We'll see it towards the end of this message. It's not about those things. It is about him and his peace that he provides that is beyond comprehension, because it doesn't make sense in all of the circumstances of our life. But God takes care of us. Look again at verse 28. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. It says, they do not toil, nor do they spin. He's literally talking about wildflowers. Some of you have gone out already this spring and looked at wildflowers. Now, in some places, somebody planted those, but in most places, those were just there. They're a part of the landscape here in Texas. And people will stop and they will take pictures, and in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, those flowers will be gone and nobody will be laying in the dead flowers taking pictures. They'll be gone. But while they're here, we're enjoying them. That's what he says here. He says, even King Solomon, who had all the money in the world, all the wisdom, he had all of the access to all earthly things. If you haven't read his book, Ecclesiastes, you can see that all that stuff didn't make life important to him. But he says, even King Solomon, that could buy anything and everything and did, he in his glory didn't look as good as the wildflowers that grow wild in the earth and that eventually die and are collected up. Some of them are even burned as hay in a field. He says those things are not important in comparison to what God has in store for you. Verse 30, he says, if I can take care of the plants, which don't live long, the grass of the field, why wouldn't I be able to take care of you? At the end of verse 30, he asks them a question, but it's really more of a statement. He says to them, O men of little faith. Because if they're worried about their stuff, then he says you can't fully trust him. So let me take you back a little bit to think about a concept here, a truth. So these young men that are the disciples that were a part of following Jesus had given up everything when Jesus called them. Some of them were working, some of them were fishermen. One was a tax collector. Others were doing other things. They were helping their families. All of them left all of that behind in order to follow the rabbi, Jesus. Did they fully understand who they were following as the Son of God? Not a chance. But in the culture of the day, if you were invited to follow the rabbi and you chose to do that, then you left everything behind in order to follow the rabbi to become like him. So when you leave everything behind, you don't go back part-time and go fishing. No, you go with that rabbi. If he sleeps on the ground, you sleep on the ground. If he eats fish 12 days in a row, you eat fish, because for some reason, he's doing it and you want to be like him. If he picks up a rock while you're walking down the road, you pick up a rock very near there because there's got to be a reason why, even if he doesn't tell you why. You leave everything behind in order to follow him. Now, the disciples may or may not have had three meals a day. That's more of a cultural thing here. But God took care of them. Jesus provided for them. He didn't leave them hungry. They may not have had a bed to lay in and a pillow to put their head on every night, but he gave them time to sleep. They had to follow him. They worked with him. They learned from him. They were wanting to become like him. That's why they left everything behind. And Jesus, as their rabbi, as was the custom of the day, he was responsible to provide for them and take care of them. And he did. That's the same picture of what God asks us. If you have chosen to leave the world behind and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior from now to eternity, then you are trusting him that the promises of his word are always and forever true. You don't need to also keep one hand back behind you in the world. If you're truly going to follow him, then you've got to be willing to trust him with every single area of your life. But if you're still holding on to the things of the world, you're not fully following him. And if we can't do the basic things like trusting him with food and shelter and clothing, if we can't trust him for that, then it's going to be even harder to trust him for the bigger spiritual things that he has in store for us. He wants us to follow him with all that we are. Galatians 2, verse 20 says this in a different way. Paul said this to the believers, the church in Galatia. Listen to what he says, Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. This life of living for Christ wholeheartedly is about living by faith and trusting him, even when we don't fully understand. Back in verse 31, again, he says, Jesus is teaching the disciples, he says, what are you worried about all this stuff for? He says, even the Gentiles, the non-believers. Remember, Jesus hasn't died on a cross yet. And so the Jews are still God's chosen people. He has not opened up salvation to everyone who will believe yet. That happens at the cross. So he says to them, even the Gentiles, all other people, all the non-Jews, those who don't know God as the one true God, God takes care of them. If he takes care of them, then why wouldn't he take care of you, the people of God? Even the non-believers need basic necessities. I want you to notice something in verse 32 in the middle of it. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He uses the term heavenly Father here in verse 32 and also verse 26. And the greatest concept, the truest concept of a father is somebody who loves, who cares for, protects, and takes care of. Our heavenly Father knows what we need before we even ask him. Because he cares about us, he protects us, he provides for us, he loves us. Then we come to verse 33, powerful words. So he says, instead of worrying about all these things, the earthly stuff that God already knows we need, he says, but seek first, not second, not third, not when you're old enough, not when your retirement account is big enough, not when you have all the stuff that you think you need. He says, right now, today, in your life, wholeheartedly seeking the Father, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. A kingdom is an area ruled by a king. Who rules your kingdom? You? Your spouse? Your boss? Your kids? Your parents? Or God? Do you seek first the things of God, or do you seek first the things of everybody else and sometimes carve out room for him? Seek first his kingdom, who he is, and the things that he has in store for us, and his righteousness. Righteousness simply means to be in right standing with God, to do what God asks of us, to follow his word because it's his. You can't be in right standing with God without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where it starts, but that's not where it ends. We're to live for him every day by faith. We're to follow him and become like him. So he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this earthly stuff that you and I worry about and get anxious about, all these things he can take care of. If he can take care of it for the birds and the flowers, the wildflowers, if he can take care of them, he cares more about you, and he can take care of you. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious. Don't be worrying and distressing about the things that may or may not ever happen. Do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Did you know God hasn't promised you tomorrow? He might come back today. His word says he's coming back. He might come back today. Would you and I be ready for that? Maybe, maybe not. But he hasn't given us tomorrow yet, so why are you already worrying about tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week, or the next decade? He says, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble, enough distressing circumstances of its own. You don't have to add to it. It's going to have enough problems in its own. Each day will have concern for itself. He says to the disciples, you should be concerned about the things of God. Let him take care of your daily needs as they're trusting their rabbi to do. Some of us in this room back in 2016 on Memorial Day weekend had some rain that came and visited our houses inside. Our houses flooded. Our house flooded. We got 4 inches of water in our house. Might as well have been 4 feet because everything 4 foot and lower has to be torn out. It was a pain. I'm like, God, what in the world? I don't have time for this. I began to worry and stress over how this was all going to work out. And it wasn't easy and it wasn't fun. Many in here who went through that will tell you it wasn't fun. But at the end of about 5 or 6 months, we were back in our house. And Kisa loved our house because it was good as new. Everything had been painted, new counters, new cabinets, new countertops. New appliances. It was almost like it was a new house. But then 15 months later, Hurricane Harvey decided to come and spend 357 days here, raining on top of all of us, and many of us again, or some of you for the first time, got water in your house. And again, it's like, Lord, seriously? I thought I learned the lesson 15 months ago. Why do I have to learn it again? Let somebody else learn it. But again, I began to stress and worry over the stuff. And was it easy? No. Did God take care of everything? Yes, in his perfect timing. He worked all of those things out, and we moved back into that house, learning more lessons, saying, Lord, please, we're good now. But if he sends it again, we have to deal, we have to learn with those things. Some of us struggle with the daily things of life, and this week I was thinking about that and went back to the very first verse in the Bible. Look at it with me. It's a good reminder to me of who God is. The very first words in the Bible, God could have picked anything, but he says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know we can take that for granted, but think about it with me for a moment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke that into existence. If our God can create the heavens and the earth with a word, don't you think he can take care of the things that concern you about today? And if he gives you tomorrow, he can handle the things tomorrow. God created the heavens and the earth. If he can handle all that, he can certainly handle the things that you and I worry and stress and get anxious about. Because in fact, God is our source if you're a believer. And if you're a believer, then Christ is your Savior. And he's also the Holy Spirit, who is our strength for everyday living. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Jesus told his disciples not to fret and worry and be anxious about the stuff of life, the basic necessities of life. And he used some very simple examples with the birds and the flowers. Father, help us to be reminded as we see a bird flying by today that you care more about us than you do the bird, and you care about the bird. And as we see a flower on the side of the road that's growing wild, help us be reminded that you care about that flower, but you care more about us. And so us stressing and worrying and fretting over the stuff of life is completely unnecessary when you, in fact, are our provider. And you promise that you will take care of anything and everything that we need every single day. Father, help us to trust you more and to live by faith. Thank you for being our heavenly Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.